Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside, oh no. But this I know, it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Have you ever felt like it's not going to be all right? That you just can't make it through one more day or one more minute? Don't Give Up Radio is here to tell you that you can do it. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and I'm so very thankful to be here with you. I'm thankful because as I talked with some very special friends today, remembered where the show came from, remembered what it came out of. And we have a wonderful guest who's going to be calling in a little later, out of Trinidad Tobago. But I want to spend a few minutes just talking with you and reflecting on some truths. My story with this show and creating this show comes from a time in my life when it was so hopeless and so completely dark that I didn't have any reason to continue living. I looked at all the mistakes I had made. I didn't see a way out. I didn't see a way to correct or retrace my paths in any way to make things better. And you know what? It's very interesting. I was a believer. I was in a relationship with the Lord. I asked him to be my Lord and my Savior. And poor mistakes are circumstances and consequences that we have to deal with when we just don't make good choices. Or we're just unwise about our choices. And after about 10 years of doing the best that I can, and that's key, I was doing the best that I could, which is never good enough. After about 10 years of that, I remember reading my Bible one day, and tears welled up in my eyes. And I closed it, and I said, God, you know what? I believe that you're real. And I believe that your word is true. But for some reason, it's not true for me. And so I'm done. I'm calling it in. Talking to you anymore, it's over. And from my perspective, our relationship ended at that moment. But I want to tell you that if you've ever entered into a relationship with the Lord, he will never let you go. He's going to keep after you. He's going to find the way and find the right moment to draw your heart right back to his. And I blocked out every method. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't praying. I was still going to church, but my body was there, but the rest of me wasn't. I had completely checked out. And I was thinking about the most effective way to leave this planet early. I had gotten my will in order. I had spoke to people who I thought would be able to look after my kids if anything happened, which I was planning to make happen. And I was laying all of this out, and I was very serious about it, and the Lord knew that. And so one morning in my kitchen getting ready for church, for some reason no one was around, and on the radio over the air came the song No Weapon by Fred Hammond from his Spirit of David CD. And I was just gripped. I froze. It was like someone just paralyzed every muscle in my body. I just could not move. And I started to cry, and I wanted to move into a little corner where no one would see me. And I moved over, and I could just feel all the bricks, all the hardness on my heart starting to fall off. And through the tears that were just pouring out, I heard God say to me, if you dare to believe in my promise, dare to believe me one more time, if you dare to believe a again, I will bring you through. And it was at that moment that I made the choice. I made the choice to trust him, no matter what the circumstance looked like. And I'd like to tell you, as I share on my CD, My Strength in My Song, I'd like to tell you that I was able to just fix everything, or God just snapped his fingers and everything started to work perfectly in my life. But it didn't. It took more time. But as I conquered each thing, as I learned how to breathe, how to trust, how to get from 1 minute of the day to the next, I realized that the Lord was actually doing the impossible. He was taking the young lady who didn't finish her college degree and allowing her to do just that. She was taking the woman who didn't have the best skill sets in certain areas and developing those muscles and bringing them forth. And today, as I talk to you right now, right here, I'm talking to you from a place of someone who has lived this, who is an overcomer, and has not yet reached all of the goals, all the dreams, all that God has spoken into my life. I'm not there yet, and I still have challenges. Just this past week was a week that said, either you're going to believe me and trust me no matter what you're feeling and going through, or you're not. And at this stage of the game, I've decided that I'm going to trust him. And I always say on the show, Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That's where it begins. That's where it begins. But as I mentioned to you, I was already in a relationship with him when things were at that place where I didn't think it was working. And you know what? It, whatever the it is, doesn't work. What works is God himself. He is faithful. He cannot lie. So if he makes a promise to you, believe with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind that promise will come to fulfillment. You know, the young man who's calling in, I hope everything works out well. It is international, so we were trying this tonight. Lovely voice. Wonderful, wonderful musician. His CD is Keep On Keeping Me. And it's not only an excellent production, wonderful musicality, but his voice has so much control and so much discipline to it. And you know, normally when someone's from Trinidad, you have the accent there. But when he's singing, you hear nothing. It's just every word is crisp and clear. And he has a special anointing on his ministry, or a special gifting, where as soon as the track starts, you're pulled in right away. And I'm going to play one for you in a few moments. But he didn't get to where he is today. He's only 21, and he's got a lot of life left to live. But he didn't get here by giving up. But he did have opportunity to do so. And the more that I speak to people of different races, different ages, what I find is that almost every human being on this planet has come to a place where that voice was whispered in their ear to lie to them and say, your life isn't worth living. Your life isn't anything. You're not going to make it. No one wants you to make it. You're a burden. Just get out of here. And that's a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. Do not take it in. Take in life. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. He speaks it, and it is so. And so we trust in him. He is the one who keeps on keeping us. He is the one who is absolutely faithful no matter what we go through, no matter what we're feeling. So I want you to take a moment and listen to this song, listen to the lyrics, and we'll come back in a little bit and who knows, we might have our guests with us.
There are some times I let you down. Did things my own way like you weren't around. I thought I knew it all, but you knew better, I admit. In the midst of my storm, Lord, you keep on keeping me. And there are times when I can't see, yet you keep on keeping me. In the desert, on my dry days, I won't give up, no way. Yes, you keep on keeping me. Yes, you keep on keeping me. The lessons I've learned cause me to change. Stop being so selfish, stop playing games. It's time to move on, I admit it, Lord. In the midst of my storm, Lord, you keep on keeping me. And there are times when I can't see, Lord, you keep on keeping me. In my desert, on my dry days, I won't give up, no way. Yes, you keep on keeping me. Yes, you keep on keeping me. Save me from myself, oh Lord. Keep me, please. Take away the guilt, oh Lord.
Beautiful. Lord, you keep on keeping me. When we feel like we can't go on, we can't take another step, we can't endure another pain, the Lord keeps on keeping us. You know, the young man that's going to be calling in, and even the last few guests that we've had on the show the past few weeks, the concept of suicide came up with each and every one of them. And to this day, they're doing wonderful and great things that they never thought was possible. And at the time, you know, sometimes they got involved with the wrong crowd. Sometimes they just were so discouraged and so blinded by rejection and various things going through in life, just like I was sharing with you at the top of the show. And it comes to people in different ways. Sometimes you're born into a family that is not loving, that is not nurturing, that is quote-unquote dysfunctional. Sometimes we have a cycle with depression. When I say a cycle, it could be an instant or it could be something that grips you so deeply, so strongly, for so long that it's something that you can't shake. And the only one who can pull you out, completely break that chain, is the Lord. But you have to want him to, and you have to lean on him. So that's enough talking from me. Time for me to shift into asking questions. Now, Keelan Whitlock Jr. is singer. He is musician. He is wonderfully talented, as you just heard from the track that I just played, Keep On Keeping Me. Wonderful vocalist, very controlled, very disciplined. And so, Keelan, thank you so much. I know it's difficult calling in from Trinidad Tobago, but thank you for joining us.
Yes, no problem. And I'm sorry for the delay. I was just getting some problems in connection.
Yeah, in fact, it's coming in a little blurry, so make sure to just talk as loud as you can and overemphasize your words so that we can actually get the benefit of what you're
going to share. No problem.
Great. So, you know, we just played the track. I love it. I think it's very gripping, very engaging. And I want to get a sense first, before we get into your story, I want to get a sense of your musicality. When did you get involved with music, start falling in love with music?
You know what? I grew up in a musical family, I should say. From my grandmother to my mom to all my aunts, uncles, and cousins, we all sing. And it started for me in the church choir. And, you know, from there, it, music has always been my kind of release or that place where I feel most comfortable or most safe and most secure. So it would have been because of that, you know, that I decided that this is what I would want to do. You know, but it started from a very, very early age, and it would have been because of the influences mostly of my mom and my grandmother, you know.
Right. So you're fortunate enough to come from a musical family and have singing all around you. You know, growing up in church of that nature. Now, but you're like I mentioned, your voice is very controlled. Did you ever study or have any musical training?
No, I did not actually. The only sort of professional exposure I would have had was when I was in high school, and you know, participating in music festivals within school. You know, I had a music teacher that I worked with, but in terms of, you know, having professional teaching and that kind of stuff, no. So it's basically almost kind of self-taught, and I guess it comes from me always singing, because every opportunity I get, I sing. I sing when I'm at home, I sing in the car, you know, so I'm just always singing.
Well, you know, I listen to singers all the time, and you know, you're definitely gifted, because there are people who sing all the time, but they still don't have that level of control and diction and breath and all the things that you can learn from, you know, meeting with a vocal coach. So the fact that you haven't had that is even more a testament that you were meant to be doing what you're doing. And so now let's go back to your youth a little bit. And again, please speak loud and over, you know, you're going to sound crazy from where you are, but you'll sound completely normal to us. You know, most youth, I was sharing with our audience that, you know, we all have a point where we go through things. And I've had guests over the past few weeks who have had difficult periods of time and shared them with the audience. You grew up in a church home, a church family, but most youth come to a place where they kind of buck against the norm, so to speak. And so you fell into peer pressure for a period of time. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that looked like for you?
Sure. You know, for me growing up, you know, as I was saying, it in terms of self-identity and self-worth, it's something that I struggled with. You know, I always never felt that, you know, I might have been good enough, or I didn't fit in, or I just didn't fit the mold, or whatever that mold might have been, you know. Because of that, I would have found myself gravitating to all sorts of different influences and different friends and different company that obviously would have been negative, and it would have just been in an effort to try to feel some sort of love or some sort of acceptance, or just basically to fit in, you know. And as I was saying, I came from a home where it's not that positive things weren't spoken to me and I didn't feel love, but that was just my thing. I can't say exactly what triggered it, but it was just something I struggled with, where I felt like, yeah.
Say that again. You asked, we know what triggered it or what triggered it. Is that what you said?
Right. Yes, it wasn't any particular event that caused it to happen, you know,
okay.
But it was just how I felt, yeah.
Right. And so now this behavior pattern that you developed, it became a cycle. And so
here you
are, you know, it's one thing to enjoy going to parties. It's another thing for the party life style to consume you, the smoking, the alcohol, the girls, the whole thing. And so that became a cycle for you. And you were fairly young when this all started, like around 15 years old?
Correct. That is correct. And as I look back now, and as I would always say, especially for a man, especially for a young man, to not know himself or be sure of himself and have an identity, it's so detrimental, you know, because society and all the influences, I mean, you can easily be drawn into anything and any circle, you know. So it's so detrimental for, and I would say, a young man, but any young person who does not know themselves and doesn't have that identity, they start to gravitate to all sorts of different influences. So it was a really hard, tough, trying time. But God.
Yes, and identity is something that, you know, when you're a preteen, early teens, that hasn't really been developed in you yet. And it's interesting that that's when you get the most mental attack, physical attack, and it's the greatest opportunity to go in the wrong direction because of the fact you haven't yet learned who you are. In fact, you ended up running away from home, right? Can you share that situation with us?
Yeah, there would have been a point in time where I remember it was a weekend, and I packed my bag to go to school as normal, but in the bag I packed clothes, and I took the boat, because we take either the plane or the boat here to travel to Trinidad, because Trinidad and Tobago is a twin island state, you know. And I remember having one of my friends buy me a boat ticket, and went to Trinidad and met some other friends, and just had a weekend that I can't even fully remember, you know. And have my folks, you know, trying to contact me, and it was a whole ripple effect, a whole sort of drama, you know. So
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was just from one thing to the next. As I said, it was just a crazy, crazy point in time.
How did your family handle all that was going on, from your, you know, your new choices, running away from home? I mean, how did they deal with that?
It was almost a form of rebellion as well. You know, they didn't understand. They didn't understand because they're in their mind, you know, you shouldn't have an issue. You shouldn't be feeling any particular kind of way, because, I mean, you come home and there's stuff to eat, and you have shelter, and we love you, and there's no need to feel, you know, less of. It was kind of difficult for them to understand, but through it all, you know, they stuck and supported and tried to bring me through. But as I keep saying, I had to come to that point where I had to have that encounter with God and decide that, you know.
So even before we get there, I'm thinking, yes, it's hard for your family to handle and to adjust to.
Right.
I'm sure you were more negative than they would have appreciated you being.
Correct.
You know, like I said, they didn't understand. They couldn't relate to what you're feeling. So
correct.
Now I know that when you're feeling very strongly about something, whether you're insecure or you feel rejected or whatever it is, that when people don't understand, it just intensifies that. What was your reaction? What was your way to kind of solve or cope or deal with that, what you were feeling?
Well, I mean, the even times, that I was suicidal, trying at one point in time. I stayed home and overdosed on whatever pills I could find. It did not work at the point in time. So I remember sitting waiting for the sedative effect, waiting for my body to feel a particular way. And that night I went to bed, and I took the morning. I remember collapsing, and when I woke up, I was in the hospital. Luckily, I'm still here today. But just as you're saying, when you're going through stuff, and it may seem like nobody else understands and nobody else cares, really.
I'm just going to recap some of the things you said because I just want to make sure that everyone heard you. So you,
right?
You attempted suicide, gathered
correct.
These random pills from around your house, and you took them waiting for an effect. Nothing seemed to happen. You went to bed, but in the morning you collapsed, you said. Where did you wake up?
When I got up, I got up in the hospital. I got up in the hospital, and my mom and my dad was there. And I remember not telling them what had happened, but probably just giving an excuse that I wasn't feeling well, that attempt did not work,
But you didn't tell them what really happened. You had a cover story. Were they able to detect anything with any of the tests that they ran for you? How did your family respond to this?
Jacqueline, I missed that.
Oh, I was saying, did the doctors or your parents detect anything? So you gave them a cover story, but did they detect?
At that point in time, no. But I did, after a couple months or so, talk to my mom and talk to my family, let them know exactly what was happening and what had happened at that point in time. So yes.
So you told your mom a few months afterwards.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was very young when I made my first attempt, similar to yours, with mom's heart pill that she had in the house. I was young. I definitely not older than 11, but I was very sure and very conscious of what I was doing. I felt
right.
I'm an only child, but I also felt like a lonely child and, just didn't have any connection or communication to anyone or anything around me and felt very different,
mm-hmm.
out of place. And I remember taking those pills and it was middle of the day and I laid down as if I was going to take a nap, nap time.
Right.
And, I remember laying there being very dramatic, crossing my arms in front of my chest in a folded position, And as I was drifting off to sleep, the Lord said to me, you're going to wake up. You're going to wake up. And, again, the same message that I repeated before you came on the air, that a little while later in my life when I was thinking about doing this again, it was the same message. He said, if you would just hold on, I promise you, you'll be loved.
Wow.
And I woke up from that dream, and I was like, ah, shucks, he meant it. I wasn't exactly excited about it. But, he's been so faithful and so thankful that he is here. So we're going to play another track of yours and come back and talk a little bit more about how you can see the signs of God's hand on your life, even from that point till now. Okay?
Good.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
No more life, no more pain, no more dwelling on my past. now I'm strong, and with you, Lord, I can go on. 'Cause with you I have security, and you said with me you'll stay. I'm promised a life of prosperity, and it's starting from today.
No more life, no more pain,
no more dwelling on my past. Now I'm wise, now I'm strong, and with you, Lord, I can go on. 'Cause with you I have a security, and you said with me you stay. I'm promised a life of prosperity,
and it's starting from today.
Strength I need to go on, and I found it in that Lord. I found it in that Lord.
No more
conflict, no more stress. Now I'm holding on to Jesus. 'Cause he is alive, and his love, and it's you with my focus. 'Cause with him I have security, and he said with me you'll see. I'm promised a life of prosperity, and it's starting from today. Found it in the Lord. Now I'm changed, now I'm new. I'm not going back, no way. I will win and not lose. His word is life. 'Cause with him I have security, and he said with me he'll stay. I'm promised a life of prosperity,
and it's starting from today.
Starting from today.
No more, no more, no more, no more.
Anymore. There comes a point in time you have to stand up against those lying voices that are telling you that you don't fit in, you're not enough, you're you know, rejected, people don't really like you, all of the lies. You've made too much of a mess of your life. God couldn't possibly fix it, even though he's God and sovereign and wonderful. He can't fix it for some reason. All of that is a lie, and you have to get to a point where you say no more. But what's so interesting about this song is you wrote this song when you were about 14, 15 years old, still at that pinnacle area of your life when you were messing up, so to speak.
Yeah, I always say it's almost kind of prophetic because when I wrote it, I was not at the place where I had more stuff. You know, I was actually at I think my lowest point. But knowing where I should be, you know, and I think that's how the song came about. So it has to be prophetic, you know.
You know, for any parents who are listening, I'm a mom myself, and I definitely put the seeds into the good ground of my children, and now they're young adults. And you've got to believe the word of God. And one of the things he says is, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so, you know, you had this experience. What brought you out of it? What brought you to a place where you could, you know, begin to realize that your life could be something more.
Right. You know, for me, the mantra for the song, for No More, just as you said when you started, you know, there comes a point in time where you just need to realize that, you know, enough is enough. And that you've been created for a greater purpose and a greater calling, and that God has something awesome in store for you, you know? And I think there was just a point in time where, what I said, I started to actually see death. You know, I could see what was happening, and how I was feeling was just basically preparing me to death. You know, and that was scary. It was really scary. And it's not that I didn't know the word, and just anything, I know God will never leave me nor forsake me. You know, I know He's given me a spirit of power and love and not of fear, and you know, so there was just a point in time where I just had to say, you know, this is enough. You know, what you or others may think or how you may feel cannot continue to affect me. It's basically the plans of the enemy, you know? So it's just a point in time where I, because of what I was seeing happening, I just have to say enough is enough, you know?
And so the timeline that we're talking about, you know, you wrote this song 14, 15, you went into these crazy years, you know, and even in high school trying to end your life, and here you are now, entering young adulthood as a young man, and you just make this commitment to the Lord. Have you ever looked back? Have you ever turned back since then? I mean, it's been 2 years out
definitely,
now.
Definitely not. You know, because I've decided to surround myself now only with positive people and positive things, it does not mean that at points in time, you know, your past definitely would obviously show itself in front of you, you know, and try to make you feel how you would have been feeling before, and kind of be like, I mean, were you playing? You would have been this before, you would have been that before. But when I think about everything, where God has brought you from, you know, and just how renewed and restored and how good I feel. There is no way I could be ungrateful and turn my back on God again.
Amen. Amen. Once God has brought you through and delivered you, the idea is that we will grow. We grow like plants. You know, the seed is there, the soil is there, we're watered, and we grow in Him. And another concept that comes from your song is this idea of where you declare, I will prosper, right? And we hear that with a lot. People always just connected to money, but, you know, 3 John 1 and 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health just as your soul prospers. So when you talked about that in the song, what were you declaring?
For me, it was because the song applies to so many different things, so many different people. In terms of when I spoke about prosperity, it was kind of, if I could say, in the mind, because of how I felt less of before, you know. And that's why I quoted that scripture when I said, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That was that prosperity for me, you know. That power and that soundness of mind. That is what I that is what it meant for me, you know. So that that's when I speak about the prosperity.
Prosperity of the mind. Of the mind.
Right.
Yes, because if that's where the battle is occurring, no one can see it. No one around me saw what I was thinking. And you know, it's amazing. Right before you called in, I was sharing as an adult, you know, with children and a husband, me just setting the stage to leave this planet. And what amazed me and hurt me at the same time was the fact that I could be in the presence of adult believers, talking to them and making no effort to have joy. You know, I wasn't even trying to pretend that I was happy. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't see how much.
Right.
And that just shows you, you know, it's in your mind. On the outside, people don't see what you see. I even have a friend from high school. We were in band together. And my conception of myself in high school was I was like the geeky kid that nobody wanted to be bothered with. He's like, oh, you were so cool. People were scared to talk to you. I'm like, what? what story are you talking about? That is not what happened. I went home and cried every day. That's not what happened, right? But it's perception. What was going on in my mind clearly wasn't the reality. So I love that prosperity of the mind, growing and prospering in your mind. I want you to take a moment and talk to the listener. Someone who is at a place where they need to say no more, but they're, you know, they're holding on to some things. Speak to them about, you know, why they should embrace life and love.
Correct. You know, and I always made the two songs together, you know, in terms of no more and keep on keeping me. Because the messages work hand in hand. You know, so for that person who may be feeling like that the lowest point, that place where nobody else cares, nobody else understands how they feel, we see a God that is faithful and a God that continues to keep us even when we don't deserve it, even when we ourselves don't feel like we deserve it, we serve a God that continues to keep us and that continues to be faithful. And just that alone for me, that kind of, that's enough assurance and enough reassurance that, you know, you could say and move on and move out of this negative place that you're in. We need to stay in that place because God has so much more in store for you, you know. So it's just simple. It's all in the meaning of your mind. And God is a God that will definitely see you through whatever situation it may be, whatever it may be. Because just as with this song, it applies to so many different situations for different folks. I remember talking to an elderly woman who was going through, she was actually in a situation where she was being abused. And this song ministered to her. It could be anything for anybody. But as I said, it starts in the mind, and you have control over the mind, you know, so that's basically it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because that is also a misconception. Just like people think they have to get themselves together first before they come to the Lord with their life. You can't get yourself together first. That's why he needed to pay the price for you, because you can't do it yourself, you know. And, you know, just with what you're saying, he's worthy. So even if you think you're not worthy, even if you're saying, you know, Jackie, you're saying all this thing about people who think it's in their head, but for me, it's real. You know, I have taken someone's life. I have, you know, aborted a child. I have, you know, I live on the streets and I turn tricks to pay the rent. Let me tell you something. People might look down to you, but God will not. You come to him, and he's the one who is worthy to pay the price for you, which he did, and he's the one who's worthy to say, I forgive you, and I accept you as my child, and he's the one who's able to fix you up, clean you up, make your life something that you could never, ever have imagined. And I've heard too many testimonies along that line, but first you have to lose yourself in order for him to find you. And sometimes there's too much of ourselves in the way. I'm going to play a track by a young man who was a guest of ours a few weeks ago. The song is written by, penned by Mike Winan, and it's a lovely song called Lose Myself. Find him on Facebook as well as Finding Keelan. And the lyrics said, when you get used to sin, it blinds you. That's what Keelan was sharing with us earlier. But thankfully, the Lord opened those eyes and helped him to see that if he continued on that path, what his life would look like. It scared him enough to turn around, because he knew what to do. He knew where to go. And if you're listening to the show tonight, it's not by happenstance. That thing that you're about to do or about to engage in or planning, you're not meant to do that. And so use this as an opportunity, because the Lord will keep you when you fall, but you don't want to keep putting yourself in that position. Now, Kiwan, our time is fast evaporated. Share with the people, because you are actually in Trinidad. So share with us how, one, can we get our hands on your music. You have a website, tell us about that. If you're planning on coming to America and doing some work out here, you know, just tell us a little bit about your music ministry.
Okay. As you said, I reside in Tobago, which is the smaller of the two islands here in Trinidad and Tobago. Persons could find the music on iTunes. Apart from that, you know, any updates as well to shows and listings, etc., you could find the pages via Twitter or even following on Instagram. I'm actually supposed to be in New York on some Boxing Day until sometime later in January. No shows are still lined up yet, but I'm supposed to connect with some friends. I know E-Praise Ren was on your show a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully we could connect and, you know, do something when I get over. But basically just basically follow the social media pages, and it's all Kilometer Lock. It's Kilometer Lock, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Reverb Nation, you know?
Okay, and you know,
that's it.
I got it definitely. So they can definitely find your music on iTunes, and they can find you on Facebook and Instagram, which I'm not on yet. And hopefully, we can put something together. We can put something together for when you come in December. I wanted to track back a little bit. So we've heard your story, and I want to know, how did you get from there to hear? How did you get to producing a CD? Did the Lord tell you to do it? Was it just something you loved and you moved into? How did those doors open?
I think for me, when I wrote the song, I toyed with it for a couple of years, you know, because it was only in 2012 I actually recorded and released the song. You know, so I toyed with the idea of recording it or not. I actually tried recording it once. Connected with a producer here in Tobago, and things just didn't work out, you know. And I guess it wasn't God's timing. In 2012, I met with a friend of my mom, who happens to be the producer that I work with now. And for me, I just wanted to share the message in the song, because I think it would have been able to help somebody else. You know, and for me, if it was able to help one person, then I was fine. You know, it was basically wanting to share the message that I got years ago with others. And that happened, and, you know, the response to that was favorable. Like, some persons, you know, really like the song. And then the other producer sat, and then we wrote this next one, which is Keep On Keeping Me. And we actually have the third single. We actually supposed to release that in a couple of weeks. So that is kind of where it started. It was just me wanting to share, and I guess focus wanting to hear more of the sharing. So,
well, thank you for sharing
that.
I really appreciate you doing that. I noticed that we have someone who's been trying to get to us. They've been calling in. Let me see if they have something they'd like to share with the audience. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Did you have something you wanted to share with Kilon? Hello? Okay, so they were probably just calling in to listen in and capture some of the show, which is great. We appreciate that. So our time is gone. Look at that. A whole hour has vanished that quickly. But I really appreciate it. I know it's a sacrifice on your part to call in internationally. But the sound and the music is so good. And I know your story is just beginning. You know, that's just one cycle of it. But God is faithful to take us from glory to glory, and we continue to expand and we continue to grow. So as you do so, and as you develop, you know, more products and projects, please keep us in mind. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and we'll say goodnight again to everyone hearing us. This is King of the Block saying, thank you, be encouraged. And, you know, God does it all under control.
Amen. Amen. He absolutely does. Now, next week, please set your clocks or your calendars or whatever to make sure you tune in. We're going to do a show called New Season, and our guest is going to be David Winans. Now, yes, a few months ago I had Daniel on, but this is David Winans Jr. He is the oldest of the Winans brother. He has a very unique sound and a very unique take that we need to hear. So I'm looking forward to that. And so until next week, I want you to continue to be your own best hero. Do not let yourself down, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it, and he gave his life for you. So until next time, be blessed and walk in that blessing.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart, and you're left with a broken heart, and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know.